KOM.com.
I see. Good afternoon. All right, so I'll tell you what we're going to do. Buttons are all pushed now. We're all in lined up. All the tubes and strings are connected. So we're going to introduce ourselves here. First off, we're going to do something that's called Support for WMNF. Comes from our members in UF Online, providing education to qualified students. As a top 10 public university, online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. Students can apply by May 6th for fall. UF students don't just log in, they connect. And once again, welcoming you. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM, and hopefully we are actually reaching the air at this point. It's funny, when you push all the buttons, everything works. Anyway, welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government, as we keep in mind regularly that they are your employees. My name is John Gilmore. I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time, joined in the session this afternoon by Mr. Adam Bax. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
And we'll hear a lot more from Adam in a little while. We, in this conversation, welcome all viewpoints. We require civility as we discuss these matters, because basically what we're doing is we're using radio as the back fence of the nation, kind of a place where reasonable people can hash out the issues of the day, walk away enriched even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Or by email at dj@wmnf.org. You can reach the studio by text at 813-433-0885. And be sure and find Executive Session on the Facebook, find on our Facebook page, and like and follow the page, because we post the information that we're going to be discussing on a daily basis there. And so you can see the actual links to the material we're using, and you can check them out for yourself. And you can also join discussions that frequently are ongoing on the Facebook page. So we're going to revisit a little something that we touched on very, very briefly a few days ago. These are from the president's Twitter feed on the 17th of this month. Quote, "It's truly incredible that shows like Saturday Night Live, not funny, no talent, can spend all of their time knocking the same person, me, over and over without so much of a mention of, quote, the other side, unquote, like an advertisement without consequences. Same with late night shows. Should Federal Election Commission and or FCC look into this? There must be collusion with the Democrats and, of course, Russia. Such one-sided media coverage, most of it fake news. Hard to believe I won and am winning. Approval rating 52%, 93% with Republicans. Sorry," followed by a link to MAGA. Now, we did talk about this very briefly a day or so ago, and we were discussing whether or not it seemed to be a threat to use federal investigations to punish unflattering portrayals. Now, In addition to that, in the budget he submitted last week, the president zeroed out funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, that's they provide revenue for NPR and PBS and public radio stations across the nation. The fact that the Democrats control the House of Representatives pretty much ensures that it won't happen, but the proposal itself is damaging, and this is... from the Nieman Lab at the at Harvard, gentleman writes, there's a large body of political science research that shows public opinion on a given issue varies depending on how closely attached it is to people's partisan identities. And each statement budget, that's a term, statement budget, strengthens the public's the public media's attachment a little more. So we've all seen the president's almost constant attacks on whatever news media has reported some unflattering articles about him or his administration and its policies. So, Adam, you are a journalist. It's been a while since Adam's been here, and I wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to reintroduce yourself in the session here. You are a student at USF. Please tell us about what you're studying and
Yeah, my name is Adam Baxt. I am a USF broadcasting student, well, Mass Comm with a concentration in broadcast news. I'm very interested in the rights of the First Amendment and everything that comes in, you know, tail with that. My thoughts on this particularly is the idea that the president would have such thin skin to belittle anyone and anything that disagrees with him is ridiculous, and it is, being as borderline as it may, as thin as a threat it may be, it is still, at the end of the day, a declaration through him that maybe we should do something about this, maybe mm-hmm. something should be done, and that's just ridiculous. That's not the intent of what the president should do. It should be that he takes criticism and he, as well as, you know, applause,
yeah,
and moves forward with what's best for the country.
Yeah. So here's a question for you. Is this a deliberate attack on the sources of information for the country? Is this a deliberate attack? Is what the president is doing a deliberate attack on the sources of information for the country? If you don't think so, how do you see it? And if you think it is, if you think that this president is actually actively attacking the sources of information for the country, what do you think is the point? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Need no welfare state.
Everybody pulls his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle and great. Those were the days.
And we're in session for a Wednesday afternoon here on WMNF. This is 88.5 FM in Tampa, and you're listening to Executive Session. My name is John Gilmore, joined in the studio by
Adam Bax.
There he is. And we are discussing the media and the president's relationship to the media, and we started off reporting a couple of the tweets from the 17th that he posted after Saturday Night Live ran a rerun of their Christmas show, And he had reacted to it before, is re-reacting a word? I don't know. But he apparently got triggered again. So if you have been out of the cave or Ted up from the bunker anytime recently, you have undoubtedly heard the president just bitterly complain about the media and their portrayal of him and their coverage of him, and actually calling a sort of a more or less amorphous aspect or a part of the American media the enemy of the people. So we were wondering what you thought about that. If it's a deliberate attack on the sources of information, if you don't think so, what do you then how do you see it? And if you think it is, what do you think is the point? And we're going to go right straight to Rod in Largo. Good afternoon, Rod. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John, thank you. I believe it's an attack. Anybody who says anything disparaging of him, he goes right after, and they aren't good people. They're the only people he doesn't go after, Fox or any of the other news sources. And I believe he does it on purpose. He can't take criticism. Now, you and I both know that just about every president who's been in since we've had media doesn't always have the best feelings about press. However, none of them have done the stuff. I don't even believe, Richard Nixon had his enemies list and all the rest, and he talked behind the backs of everybody about this stuff, but I don't even think he went as far as Trump does with this stuff.
I think you're right. I don't think any president has ever gone public with these kinds of complaints.
And threatening, like he does to Saturday Night Live, the FCC should, like, this is so ridiculous. They've done that to every president. They lampoon them all. And the guy, just like Adam said, has such thin skin that he can't take any kind of criticism. Now, I know that if somebody says something good about him, he's all loving him, up until the point where they don't. And then, just like how he talked about Michael Cohen and how great and how smart of a guy he was.
Yeah, he said he was a great guy the day that he talked about the fact that they'd raided his office. I can't remember the exact phrase he used, but he said one of my personal attorneys a really good guy or something like that.
Yeah, and then as soon as it hit the fan, it was just the opposite. That's the way the guy is. And not to get off the subject, but a couple other things that I was irritated about. You know, I noticed in one of the news conferences that he was calling, I think it was Beto O'Rourke was another low IQ individual.
That was Joe Biden. Joe Biden actually had the misfortune. Joe Biden had the misfortune to stumble over a sentence, and the president seized upon that and classified him as a low IQ individual.
Well, you know what I would like to see? I don't know, maybe it'll come up in the upcoming campaigns. I would like somebody to call him out and say, well, let's do an IQ test. Let's put the money where our mouth is, and let's see what's really going on here. Because obviously you and I both know that would never happen. He would never admit to it. I'm not sure he understands what the acronym IQ stands for.
He posted it in capitals with a period after each letter, so he knows. He at least knows it's two words.
And then the other thing, one other quick thing, and I'll get off because I know you got a lot of callers. Him disparaging John McCain yet again. Now, yeah. I'll be honest, John McCain, you know, I disagree with him on some of his issues that he had, obviously, but one thing you cannot deny about the McCain family is they're patriots.
Yeah.
Their entire, and now you were in the National Guard, or you were in the Coast Guard, correct?
I was.
And I was in the U.S. Air Force. My dad was a 25-year Army and Air Force all the way from World War II through Vietnam. And that really irritates me. First of all, I was taught you never trample on a person's grave.
Yeah.
That right there is, the decorum is just totally uncalled for. And the second thing about him talking about him, you know, I think it started back in his family and McCain's family. His great-grandfather was, I believe, an admiral in the Navy.
Yeah.
And a lifelong. And then his father also.
I think that's correct. I believe he came from actually a line of admirals.
Exactly.
So to speak.
And his wife were military people. And to disparage the name and go after, being a veteran myself, that is really irritating to me.
Yeah.
Regardless of the guy's politics or not, the guy's a patriot.
Yeah.
His family has given nothing but years and years and years of service, most of it in combat, to the United States of America. And to talk poorly about somebody like that to me is very, very discouraging.
I was watching the nightly news last night with Lester Holt, and they were talking about this, and they showed a blurb with Donald Trump talking about John McCain. He says, you know, I never agree with the guy, and I don't think I ever will. Well, I would think a proclamation coming down from wherever John McCain may rest, I think maybe that would take into some consideration, but it's just a ridiculous thing to return. It's what did you call it? I don't even remember.
That was three minutes ago.
It's another thing like that.
Yeah, so John McCain, there's no question about it. John McCain was not the smartest guy that ever went through the academy, and he probably wasn't the best aviator that ever flew an airplane. But there is no question about him being incredibly courageous and committed to his men and to the nation. He did, as I believe you cited, have an opportunity to leave the Hanoi Hilton because his father was an admiral, and he declined.
No, nope.
So, you're right. You know, he basically bought himself another who knows how long of torture and horror, and then came home with his men. And a man with the record that the current president has, as far as I'm concerned, has no ground to stand on to criticize that.
No, not at all. I mean, if something like that would have ever happened to any Trump family member that I've ever read about, I'm sure they would have folded like a proverbial cheap suit. So,
well, I don't know. I can't say anything about what might have happened to one of them, but I know, and we all know what John McCain went through, and we all know how he conducted himself, and we all know how the current president, what he went through and how he conducted himself, and we can make our own comparisons.
That's correct. All right, John, I'll get off and let you get another caller. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. We'll talk about it. Like I say, we'll talk again. 813-239-9663. We are in a discussion here about the presidency and the media on WMNF here in executive session at 88.5. And we are just kind of taking these phone calls along, and we're going to go and talk to Art in Antioch. Good afternoon, Art. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon. I love the show, and I want to just say just how important it is that we have these discussions and that we have this time to be able to really talk about this. So I've got a couple of things that I want to talk about. One is this. I don't think Trump maybe is as stupid and off the cuff as people think.
Mm.
If you think of what was going on yesterday, he was meeting with another authoritarian leader from Brazil.
Yes.
And what's going on there. And it looks like he's lining up a autocratic cabal between Russia, North Koreans,
uh-huh.
China,
uh-huh.
this guy now in the Americas down in Brazil.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of shiny objects for us to chase after.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can kind of lose, the dagger in your back from the glitter of the show.
Yeah, well, that's how come we wanted to step away from the active news cycle, you know, the day-to-day stuff, and sort of take a look at a little broader trend.
Right.
And see what it looked like to people.
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on since the beginning.
And it has been, and that's not to say that, you know, his degradation of John McCain's record is just not abhorrent. It is. But, you know, I'm just like want to speak to people and just say, you know, don't get distracted of what this man, I believe is truly being coached by other, you know, by Putin and, you know, other autocrats that are looking to deconstruct the, you know, the liberal democratic world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's not only going after the U.S., but, you know, in his way, you know, he's teaming up with these guys to go after Germany and every other liberal democracy.
Yeah. I have occasionally asserted that Steve Bannon won the 2016 election because his stated goal was the deconstruction of the administrative state, and it kind of looks to me like that's what's going on.
Right. Agreed. So, you know, those are the major points I want to go on. And I just want to ask you here is, and, you know, it's like we have to accept everybody that comes through your phone line. But yesterday, I was the last person you didn't get to. And I just want to say that, you know, sometimes it almost gets me like, when somebody calls in about a rock show band.
Yeah.
That, you know, and you know, I mean, you've got to entertain them, but, you know, could you please keep it short?
Okay. There will be no more sessions of admiration for rock bands during the sessions.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. It's so unusual for somebody to even recognize the Siegel Schwal band.
Yeah, I get it. And you know, you're a chatty Cathy.
Yakety Jack.
and you're going to go on, but just, you know, keep it in mind for us that are looking for some meat.
Okay, Art, thanks a lot. Listen, the other thing is, thank you very much for your persistence in calling back. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I enjoy your show immensely.
Sure enough. And with any luck, we will talk again, and you won't have to wait a whole day for it.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
813-239-9663 here in executive session on WMNF. This is 88.5. FM in Tampa. You can call 813-239-9663. That will get you in contact with Mr. Ed Green this afternoon. Mr. Green is going to answer your call. He's going to want to know what your name is and where you're calling from, a word or two perhaps about what you want to say. Get you ready to step in here and take the floor. And right now we are going to go and let's talk to Frank in Sarasota. Good afternoon, Frank. You're at executive session, and you have the floor.
Thank you, John. I didn't realize that was Ed there talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Ed. Anyhow, I've actually been on his show. Did a couple of sessions on his freak show program.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway.
Maybe a different Ed Green, but I hear you.
Oh, was it really?
It's possible.
Green?
I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a couple of two or three Ed Greens around here.
You're probably right.
I don't know, you know.
Oh, okay. And I was being chastised by Art there because I was also going to say I'm a fan of the Siegel Troll Band and have been since the film work days.
All right, well, that's as far as we can go with that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll move on then.
Moving right along.
I wanted to say something about the guy calling yesterday, Chuck, you know, who said, and there was a few people who said, yeah, the economy is booming, you know, everybody has work and all that kind of thing, right? Remember that?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
I have heard it a couple times.
Oh, okay, right. Some people. And, you know, jobs are starting at $12.50 an hour.
Mm.
Entry-level jobs, you know, he thought that was just great. Anyway, mm-hmm. I was getting $12.50 an hour back in the early 70s. So I don't find.
I was going to ask you where you were getting work.
In California.
Yeah.
In the early 70s. And, you know, I joined the union and it went steadily up from there. So I don't consider $12.50 an hour to be that great a starting wage for any trade.
Yeah, I don't think it is anymore for sure.
Right.
And I started driving trucks for $9.41.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got my A license. Yeah. I was an equipment operator, and I got my A license. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, though, now, in fact, this was just after they stopped using 20 mule teams, so it's been a while. You know.
Yeah, right. Well, I haven't driven an 18-wheeler in a while myself, and I don't miss it.
Yeah.
So anyhow, by the time I got my license to do that and move the equipment around, you know, I was making $48 an hour.
Wow.
That's serious money for a guy. But nonetheless, anyway, this is not a great economy, and it's all being bolstered by false, propping up of the government, propping up, you know, tax breaks for the wealthy people, you know, and running deficits and debt, you know, federal debt and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not sustainable.
Yeah.
And eventually the bottom is going to drop out on this.
Here's what worries me, Frank. We are you can make business a lot more profitable by deregulating stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, regulations are expensive, and I've said this before. If you have to treat the waste products of your manufacturing process, it's a whole lot more expensive than if you can just dump them on the ground.
Or in the river.
Yeah, exactly. So if you deregulate stuff, you definitely increase the profitability of the businesses and like that. But it occurs for me as sacrificing the future.
Right.
On the altar of immediate gratification.
Right. Well, the Koch brothers don't care about that. They don't have, you know, and people like that, they just to sacrifice the future for their own, you know, immediate profit. And, you know, the fact that it's deleterious to the health of the nation doesn't even cross their mind.
Well, and they may not be around long enough to notice this, but you can't breathe money.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm not sure how it does. I'm not sure how it goes down in smoothies either. So, you know, it's just one of those things. If you want to be able to live in the environment around you, it makes sense to take measures to see to it that it doesn't get so foul you can't.
Right.
So, you know.
Okay, and the last thing is I want to thank you for coming out and saying yesterday that you're going to expose as much of this you can about Rob Lori issue going on over there. When the dust had settled and it was all, you know.
Yeah, that was a commitment that I made early on. I'm only going to say just this is all of the discussion of this for the day.
Okay.
During the week that happened, we entertained conversation about it, and when we stopped having conversations about it, I said as soon as this matter is resolved, I will bring you everything I can about it.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear that at the time, but I heard it yesterday.
Yeah.
I want to appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, and you can still count on me for doing that. We're looking to, you know, it's all in process, and as soon as it's done, you know, then I'll do what I said.
It was sort of sounding like Sarah Sanders was working over there for a while. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah. All right, Frank, listen, okay, thanks for calling. We'll talk again.
Bye.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 gets your very own self in this executive session for this afternoon with Adam and I. And my name's John Gilmore. That's Adam Baxt over there.
Hello.
How you doing? And here is, by the way, here's a couple places you might end up wanting to go.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band. For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
WMNF's record and CD sale. Amazing deals. Don't miss out. Snag the album of your dreams at a way cheap price. This sale will blow your mind. Most CDs and LPs will be priced at $2.
All purchases are as is and are final. Parking is limited. Carpooling and alternative transportation is suggested.
WMNF's big record and CD sale. Saturday, April 27th. Be there.
That is so subtle and understated, I swear. That's great. I love it. All right, I'll tell you what. Hey, Ted, what's going on down there?
I got a lot of questions.
Okay.
I just finished hydrating the vegetables.
Okay.
And isn't Adam on spring break?
That was last week.
Huh? Well, I don't have a calendar when you crazy college students are off.
Well, spring break is definitely in full swing, and if you don't believe it, take a ride over to any of the Gulf beaches.
Yeah,
that's why I don't go to the Gulf beaches in March.
Yep. All right. Well, listen. The vegetables are hydrated. We've accounted for Adam's whereabouts. What you got?
I'd like to be the Irish Prime Minister on Friday. Going. Wait a minute. You didn't tell me this is a dry White House. How long do I have to be here? When can I go to the Blair House? They have Macallan Scotch, don't they? Good. And, one of the commissioners got back to Mulvaney. They're going to work on that matter with SNL and all the up. All the later shows, even though he didn't realize that that was a rerun.
When it first came on, it wasn't identified as a rebroadcast right up front. And when it first came on, I was looking at it and going, I wonder, this is an interesting introduction to a sketch in March.
Yeah. Well, look it. I got to give everybody a break. Every once in a while over there at SNL.
Oh, yeah.
And the commissioner called back Mulvaney and said, we will get on this as quickly as we can solve the problem with the commercial level going up to like 25. They'll get to it.
All right.
All right. I'm out.
All right. Thanks, Ted. Ted regularly updates us from the bunker down in Ellenton where he has a very specialized crop of vegetables.
Yeah, hydroponic.
I'm told. And we always appreciate Ted's input. And we're going to go and talk to Dave in Valrico. Good afternoon, David. You are in executive session.
Hey, hope everybody's having a good day. I know that this is executive session, so this may be a little against the grain, but I think the less attention we focus on the executive branch, maybe the better. I think he gets enough airtime. He gets enough tweet time. I wish we could focus on some other agenda items that are much more important than dealing with the latest distraction from the White House, because I think that's what he deals in is distraction from what's important.
Well, here's it. We have a very broad range of public affairs programs that start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and go until, and we wrap it up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And 4 days a week, we decided that it was worth our time to put in an opening for a discussion about a presidency where the president himself has absolutely no government experience whatsoever. And we kind of wanted to keep an eye on that. So, I agree, there's an awful lot of shiny objects and squirrels out there to chase. We do this. So, I think that given, especially now that we've seen kind of the direction that this is going, I think it's worth talking about.
I think it doesn't seem to matter where you tune in. He's whether he's complaining about the news coverage he's getting or at SNL. I mean, This comment that gets repeated a lot about he could make a shot on, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. I don't subscribe to that. This is a guy who doesn't share his tax returns, doesn't want to talk about his IQ. He's always trying to control the narrative, and I think the heat just needs to be turned up on him, or the fake news networks need to focus on some other things and, you know, quit playing into his hands, because that's...
Well, you know, I understand how tedious and tiresome it is, and I also, you know, you get kind of caught on the horns of a dilemma, because there is the tedium and the difficulty of having to wade through that stuff. But on the other hand, you kind of don't want the President of the United States operating in silence, you know?
Well, I don't think there's ever this is a president who's never going to be out of the limelight.
Yeah. No, I mean we don't want to not pay attention to what he's doing. You know, I said that that was not well stated. We don't want to not pay attention to what's going on over there.
I don't think there's any chance of that. I made my point. I appreciate you listening to me, and I second the earlier caller's feelings about when you hear something new about Rob, letting us know. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, definitely we'll do that.
Have a good day.
Okay.
It says, we're getting an email here, and it says it's from Mike in Sarasota, and he says, earlier today you asked what we should think of Trump criticizing the media. I just happened to be studying logical fallacies today and discovered one which captures Trump perfectly. It's called the tu quoquo fallacy, and it means answering criticism with criticism. Whenever Trump is criticized, he responds by criticizing the criticizer. It is a good way to change the point and avoid discussing the merits of the original case.
There you go.
It's a very fair point.
So people, that's one of the beautiful things about these conversations is that this community is so wide ranging, and the depth of knowledge is such that people have those things to contribute. It's great. 813-239-9663. And let's see, we're going to take a look and see who's been here for a while. Isaac in Riverview. Good afternoon. You're an executive session. And you have the floor.
Hello.
How you doing, Isaac? Hey, how you going?
Pretty good.
Good. Isaac is a young friend of ours who calls us periodically whenever he is out of class, out of school, and so I take it that you're on your spring break, my friend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what did you notice?
Well, I noticed that Trump is non-freedom of speech.
Uh-huh.
And in a country that basically invented it?
Uh-huh.
How can you be the president of that country then?
It's a good question, isn't it? If you have sworn an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States, and one of the fundamental tenets of that Constitution is freedom of speech, how do you attack freedom of speech?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's a good... You've brought up a good question.
Now he's all like, oh, no freedom of speech. But a few months ago, he was like, yeah, we need freedom of speech. We definitely need it so I can make white supremacists talk to high schoolers.
Well, I think that I'll tell you what, one of his fundamental complaints, Isaac, is that he seems to believe that especially social media is actually discriminating against conservative people. All right. Now, he's promoted that idea. I don't know where he got that idea. I don't know if there's any research or data that backs that up. But that's basically what I've heard him say in the last few days, is that what he's worried about is that the social media are discriminating against conservatives.
What?
You know, I think that that is a brilliant response, sir. I think you have caught the mood in general. Anything else? Go ahead.
Well, another thing I wanted to say is he's all mad about Late Show, The Daily Show,
yeah,
making fun of him. Well, if you don't do anything stupid, they're not going to make fun of you. So just stop doing stupid stuff.
Oh, I love it. I'll tell you what, Isaac, I always enjoy talking to you, and your viewpoint is very interesting and very refreshing, and I thank you for giving us a call.
You're welcome.
And I hope that we get to talk again. You're going to be all. How long is your break?
Well, I go back to school on Tuesday. Actually.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk between now and then. Listen, thanks again for calling. We'll talk again.
You're welcome.
Sure enough. All right, that's Isaac, 813-239-9663. We'll get you right in here with Adam Baxton, I, and on WMNF. This is 88.5 FM in Tampa, and we're going to bring you just another couple of informational things. Informational, are we just making up words here today?
Informational is a word.
Oh, okay. I'm glad. Anyway, here you go.
Hello, I'm Pete Gallagher from the WMNF Florida Folk Show. In 1967, Arcadia farm worker James Richardson was miles away picking fruit when his seven young children collapsed and died. Innocent, he was railroaded onto Florida's death row. 21 years later, Charles Flowers and I published a year-long investigation that freed Richardson. Filmmaker Ty Flowers and I will screen the documentary Time Simply Passes Sunday, March 24th, 3 p.m. at the Carter Woodson African American Museum in St. Pete. Go to woodsonmuseum.org or call 727-323-1104.
WMNF is a listener-supported community radio station that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, and environmental justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates and promotes the cultural, creative, and political vitality of the local community.
Here we are in the last lap of executive session for today. It's Adam Baxt and I am John Gilmore. I host these sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday. We're privileged to have Adam with us this afternoon, as we do on Wednesdays as often as possible. Adam is a journalist student, mass communication guy, wanted to have him in here this afternoon because the discussion that we're having is about how the president has been interacting with the media in the country, and the fact that he seems to be complaining about his portrayal in comedy shows.
Yeah.
And basically threatening to sick the Federal Election Commission and the FCC. Hmm. On to him. So we thought that would might be a reasonable thing to have a conversation about. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go and talk to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, hi. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you right.
Wonderful. I'm a first-time caller, by the way.
Welcome aboard.
And hey. You guys, you quoted Trump's tweet earlier about McCain and being a low IQ because he was, the fifth lowest in the Naval Academy?
Actually, the low IQ remark was about Joe Biden, and he had used that same low IQ remark about a congresswoman earlier. He just said that John McCain was I don't even remember I didn't pull a quote on that because
he put him down because he was like graduated like
he said he was last in his class and he wasn't
right well yeah, it's not just that. I mean, I'm from Annapolis and we lived near the Naval Academy, and I was in the Navy, my father was in the Navy, my parents sponsored midshipmen whenever they could, which gave them a place to come to when they needed to get away, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen their homework and everything like that. Calculus, advanced this and that, I mean, theoretical combat techniques, stuff that would curl the hair of most college students. And you were talking about the Naval Academy. It's not a college where you skip a class or something like that and party on the weekends.
No.
The person who graduated, say, last at the Naval Academy is by far more of a genius than Trump would ever dream to be, is the point I'm trying to make. Him putting him down for even just graduating from the Naval Academy means that you sweated and suffered, and you proved that you're smart enough to lead in the Navy.
Yeah.
So I just find that him using that as an example is kind of ridiculous. You're practically an astronaut by the time you leave the Naval Academy.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I went through boot camp, and when I went through boot camp, it was short, okay? It was only 8 weeks. And if that boot camp in 8 weeks is anything like what one of the military academies is like for 4 years, anybody that gets through that has my complete and total respect.
And I think a man who made Trump University should have little to say about anyone's education, in my opinion.
Yeah, then there's that.
Well, just a point I wanted to bring up. And by the way, you guys are doing a great job. Appreciate your show.
Thank you, Jose, and let's talk again. We'll see you later. 813-239-9663 as we tiptoe gently up to the threshold of the lightning round here. Don't give up here. We're going to go to Smiley. Smiley in St. Pete on the road. Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy. I'm glad you could take my call today. I wanted to say this, and maybe one more thing after this. Have you guys, you personally or whoever else takes care of putting the executive session show together, have you ever entertained or would you consider entertaining doing maybe one show a week, like you do that moral show, whatever it is, everyday ethics or whatever?
Yeah.
But would you guys ever entertain doing a show on our governors who are now our senators?
Well,
to just give us as Floridians an update on what in the world they're doing. I'm sure you're aware of you know what Mr. Scott has already been doing a little bit of.
Mm.
So that's my thing. Seems to me, I mean, I like your show and the president and all that doodah.
It certainly is all doodah.
I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, doodah.
Got it.
In between. But anyhow, point is, I'm trying to say is that that's a whole lot closer to the heart of Floridians as to what our two ex-governors who are now our senators,
yeah,
what they're actually doing either to us or for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say, my man.
Well, I'll tell you what, the scope of this particular conversation is the executive branch in Washington. And there is the governor's mansion is definitely the executive branch of the Florida state government, but we're focused fundamentally on Washington.
And that's where Mr. Scott and Mr. Crist are.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you can get in touch with the folks, like Sean Canaan and the folks in the Public Affairs Department, and see if they want to make a regular thing of a program that's focused on the state government. But I got to tell you, your news department here at WMNF does a hell of a job of keeping up with the state government and with the county government and with the city government. So
looking at it from the same type of format as you presently.
Yeah, so you're talking about basically holding an open discussion on the governorship.
Yeah. Well, no, not the governorship.
Oh, the governor. Oh, okay. So the people that we have sent to Washington who have been governors.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you for staying with me while I work that out. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, from what I just heard, sounds like those 8 weeks really might have done a little bit brain damage to you, as it did to me.
Oh, it wasn't that.
All right, John,
it's been my concerted efforts ever since then, Smiley. Listen, you keep your head on a swivel out there. We'll talk again.
Bye-bye, John. Bye-bye.
Okay. 813-239-9663. We got a line open, and you might be able to get in here just as the lightning round goes. We're going to go and talk to Joe. Joe, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon. You know, I just wanted to mention a few things anyway to your student there. You know, God bless the the journalists and the media, because they keep everything honest. The thing about Trump that it all has always impressed me is how much he can lie straight to the face of the camera. And then he lies to the face of the camera, and he's only getting, those lies are only getting through to the people because the media is there covering him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he points his finger at them and he goes, enemy of the people,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is the word, by the way, that Stalin used.
Yeah.
For his media.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I have a story about that. The first experience I ever had with any sort of journalism, I was actually very, very lucky. My high school newspaper, I was the, quote, political journalist for them. And I was able to go into the media pulpit of the Trump rally, the first one he had in Tampa at the what was then called the Sundome. And it's very, you know, he and all of his speeches on when he was on the rally going around the country, he would, in every speech, he would have one segment about, and the media, they're liars. And as he said that, I was standing on a chair above all the other reporters and photographers taking a photo of him, and the entirety of the Sundome, I don't know, it was packed, I don't know how much, what the capacity is, all turned, looked at me and booed. And I tell you something, it was the proudest moment to this day, as a human being.
Sealed your fate, as it were, huh?
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing, you know, I mean, he when he was sitting there talking about John McCain yesterday in whatever that place was where they do the meetings, he said stuff that wasn't true about John McCain, we were going to make save $1 trillion if he had voted to pass that ridiculous bill.
Yeah.
That he voted against. I was so glad he voted against it. You know, he did the right thing by voting against it. He was for the people. No matter what he did, he always represented his people, whether he agreed with them or not. But he lies. He says these things, and they get on camera, and they get put out over the airwaves. And they're totally untrue. And thank God for the people, like the people from CNN and MSNBC and some of the other news media, that fact-check him and say, oh, no, that was not true. And then they say what the truth was, and they fact-check him after the fact. But you can't fact-check him in real time because the words have already gone out over the airwaves.
It goes by too fast.
Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
But I thank God for you people in the media and in the journalism, and I wish you a lot of luck, and I'm glad that you're doing journalism because it's a good thing to do.
All right, Joe. Thanks, you very much. You're going to have probably the last word in the session for this afternoon, and appreciate it, and we'll talk again. All right, now Adam, if you're you're studying journalism, so mm-hmm. you're out there and you have the probably the freshest view in here, at least of what it's like to be a reporter.
I'm just starting out, I would say.
Yeah, but well, sometimes that's when the view is clearest. And I wondered if you're covering somebody,
yeah,
and they're constantly saying things that simply aren't true.
Right.
How could you cover them without that appearing negative? I mean, can you do that? If you report it honestly?
You know, it's we talk about this a lot in the classes I'm in. Especially I'm in this one class now called public affairs reporting, which is quite literally just looking up the public records and mm-hmm. saying like what they're saying isn't true, or what they're saying is true, just verifying it. And it's really hard because you can't report the truth of the matter without reporting also what they said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Trump's saying, for example, if Trump's saying this many people went to the inauguration, right? Well, you have to say he said that for you to disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
And in any instance, you know, whenever you're correcting someone, that's not a positive connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is really hard. But I don't think reporting the mere facts is a negative spin on something. It's just what is happening, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I was wondering about that because I don't have the viewpoint of somebody who is currently studying that, and I thought I'd be very interested to hear. Now, as we wind up the session here and get ready to close our doors for this afternoon, I want to make sure to invite you to stay tuned for It's the Music, because there is Mr. Scott Elliott over there, and he is going to bring you the All Souls edition of It's the Music. There will probably be a catwalk. You're going to want to be around for it. And then he's going to take you through the afternoon, and then we're going to get you through that traffic jam this afternoon. It's going to get you home. It's hump day. It's all downhill from here. and we'll be back tomorrow at just after the 1 o'clock NPR news. And in the meantime, please keep in mind,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.